The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down, and that foot is me.
Great to have you in. Weekend edition is here. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, great to have you in this morning. Colton Stone, 80s action star, and Andrew Anderson is also in this morning. You can join us. Plenty of spring ball to talk. You got a week to kind of mull over how practice one went. And a lot of excitement as Nebraska fans. A lot of excitement for the NCAA tournament. Heard the highlights on SportsCenter a minute ago, and one of the best there is in the state of Nebraska and the world, Kevin Kugler, having that final call of the upset of Maryland, Baltimore County's upset of Virginia. That was awesome. You hopefully heard that here on ESPN. Lincoln is just a great, I think, 20th year of NCAA tournament coverage. More coverage today, but lots of Husker football. You can join us, can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Court can tap house. Let you do that, 466-377-6800, 825-5865. And can find us on Twitter at Mark Skurs, at Schmidt underscore radio, or email us, Chris at HaleVarsity.com, Mark at HaleVarsity.com. Kranak, how are you, man?
I'm better than Virginia. My God.
Yes, you are.
Could you imagine?
You've always been, though.
Can you imagine how that feels for those guys? I mean, number one overall seed.
Yeah.
Like the creme de la creme of the sport. And how many people had to Google UMBC last night and be like, wait, what does that even stand for?
I did not, because I remember when they played in Lincoln at some point in the last 5 to 10 years.
Yeah. And their only other Power 5 win was?
I don't know who.
Nebraska.
That's it?
That's the only.
Really?
Yep. That's their only Power 5 win in their history.
That's right. They won against, like, Cookie Miller. That era.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know what?
Somewhere
down in southern Mississippi, Doc saw that and just shut his eyes and shook his head.
Yeah, and then after Nebraska's showing at the NIT this week.
Yeah.
Miles is 97-97.
It's almost at 100.
Exactly 500.
But he's almost at that century mark, my man, one way or the other.
Totally, totally. So I'm doing better than that, man. How about you, brother? You doing okay?
I'm hanging in. We've had two amazing days at Longwell's. We thank so many of our listeners for coming out and to being part of.
Yeah, that's a bad place to be.
Yeah, it's
there's
awesome.
So much beer and atmosphere, you know? It's just, it really takes so much beer and atmosphere.
I behaved myself on that. I need either punched in each sinus cavity or the mother of all Tylenols.
Because, dude, curry. Do you eat curry? Are you an adventurous eater?
You know me. For how many years? No.
Okay. Have you had curry?
Occasionally.
This, man, I'm telling you, because I get sinus infections all the time. Let's talk medicine this morning. Eat some spicy food.
Okay.
A bunch of it.
Okay.
It's crazy. Yeah. Like, it cleans you the hell out. It's pretty amazing.
Speaking of medicine, I mean, every time Scott Frost finds a microphone, Is that medicine for Nebraska football fans?
It's pretty damn refreshing.
Isn't it good?
Yeah. I'm so worried about this year. It is
really?
So easy to buy in right now.
Okay.
You know, it's so easy to be like.
There's zero resistance is what you're saying. And good.
There you go. Zero resistance. That's it. And, you know, we normally hear about all the attrition happens every year in college football. I'm looking at it like, if you get too much buy-in, Nebraska's like way over on scholarships right now. Like, people have to, somebody has to go.
Someone right? has to quit is what you're telling me?
A few people have to go. Like, just numbers-wise, it just has to happen. But you're sort of like, who wants to? But all there's so
people
much
people are
going.
Riding the NCAA for extra years of eligibility. They want to stick around so bad.
There's so much going right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, what do you do if you're one of those players? We were talking about this a little bit earlier. We all, okay, I'm 40. You just turned 40. Mm-hmm. Everybody that's like, every Husker fan that's like 30 plus, at least, they get what Frost is about. You know, even if they didn't watch him in person, they understand it. They watched the tapes. You totally understand and you're totally on board with what that dude is about. And as a player, if you didn't watch him before, dude was just a badass. Like, just a tough, fast, strong, like, dedicated, just a really great leader at quarterback, right? I mean, fair to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think probably the, and this is not hyperbole, the toughest quarterback I ever watched.
I think you're right.
You know, just like, just tough as hell. Built like a linebacker and just good luck, man. You know, he's going to bring it. Like, no question that dude is going to bring it. And so he comes back, and all the fans are like, hell yeah, sweet. You know, you look at his resume, you look at what he did as a player at Nebraska, you understand that he got his ass kicked by Peter and Wistrom in practice all the time. You understand the dedication they had to have in the weight room, and you know, he just understands that whole thing, and so you feel so good about it. But if you're a player, and you're from Arizona, Missouri, Calabrasca, you don't know about all that. You've heard about it. Now you see his resume and you're down with that, of course, right? You're sort of like, okay, that's cool. But it's just like the level of buy-in that is happening right now, it's as, can there be a better situation? Like anywhere of, like in the history of coaching transitions, because the entire, if you're one of those players, like you said, there's zero resistance because they are taking their cue not only from what the staff has accomplished elsewhere, but they're taking the cue from everybody else. Like, you have your instructions, players. You know, the entire fan base has made it really clear. Like, this is the dude, this is going to work, get to work, right? Like, I mean, that's the entire vibe, And they're all doing it. And it seems like the coaches are surprised by all this. I think they went to Central Florida as a group, inherited a mess of a team that was 0-12. And it took them a while to establish that credibility, establish the trust, get guys on board, figure out for themselves what the hell they're doing. It's a brand new staff coming together. Yes, there was some familiarity, but Scott had never been a head coach. Verduzco's learning the offense. Troy Walters is learning the offense. Chin Ender's a defensive coordinator for the first time. Right? You know what I mean? Like, they had to settle themselves.
Right. I mean, they had to work their kinks out as a staff together.
With an 0-12 outfit.
Right, for the first time. You want to talk about ripping the training wheels off, brother?
Oh, geez, right? Like, and so, of course, they would want to do some things over having gone through that situation. And it still worked out okay, right? I mean, they went 6-7.
Mm-hmm.
The offense was terrible, but they went 6-7. They became respectable, at least. But here, none of that's in place. Verduzco knows exactly what the offense is.
Mm-hmm.
Noah Vedral comes in. He's an expert in the offense, so he's a peer that can teach the other quarterbacks about kind of what's going on. You got Duvall, who's obviously established creme de la creme of the industry. The whole staff understands how each other works. Frost understands all the traditions and all that stuff in Nebraska, doesn't need to spend a second trying to learn those nuances in any way. Right? Like, so that's all handled. It's just, it's so much is just in place for those guys. And then secondly, I think you could give Riley and company credit for like the kind of the quality of kids that were recruited there. You know what I mean? How many off the field issues have there been? There's been some weed smoking,
right?
But that's kind of it. And not to excuse that away or anything and act like that's nothing, because if it's rampant, that's a problem.
I don't know. Right. I don't know what the definition of rampant in college and in college football programs is. I have no clue. Right. So yeah. is three dudes on the team rampant? Is 30% of your roster rampant? I don't know.
I don't know
the number. But, Krenak, I think you nailed something with, okay, does the type of athletes that Riley and the staff brought in, I think they got good football players here. I think it was just a cluster when it came to an adult being an adult. Here's mm-hmm. how I want you to behave, kids. And that there's your problem. There's your disconnect. There's 4-8.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you've got Mr. Hands On. Here's how we're going to develop. It'll be fun, I promise. It'll be quick, I promise, because your attention span sucks. It just does, you know, when we were 18 to 22.
Millennials.
Anyone. Doesn't matter when you were 18 to 22, your attention span sucked. So there's your gauntlet, and instead of, no, this is how I want to, they are so willing, right? They are so they are so about it because they believe it, and
mm-hmm.
it didn't, hey, what we were doing wasn't working.
But that's the same thing you experience with any coaching change, right? It's for the most part.
Well, but there are varying degrees of not working.
Yeah.
9-4 and losing in the conference title game was seen as not working. Then there's 4-8 where half the stadium's saying, let's go get a cocktail at halftime.
Yeah, been there.
I know you were.
Beat the alternative of looking at what's on the field. You said it, the adult in the room. The adults in the room now are asking more of the players. But it's my sense, and I think this is what's surprising, and you see inklings of this from every interview that was done this week with all the assistant coaches, with the head coach. You see little references to this where Greg Austin in particular saying he's almost surprised at how his group has done literally everything they've asked. And he thinks it's sort of crazy, like almost like they weren't expecting it, kind of like they're all coming in like, all right, we're going to have to get these guys flipped around because, you know, there's going to be some resistance. No, there's none. And so I think collectively this roster, they're willing to do what is asked. And I think they did that under Riley. I don't think a lot was asked of them, though.
Right. Again,
right?
What type of leadership, what type of directive?
Yeah.
And is it being asked and followed up on?
Right. I don't think they were asked to do as much, so they didn't do as much.
Or maybe it wasn't even a, maybe they were asked, right? But maybe the follow through and the decision was left up to the 18 to 22 year old, with no repercussions of not eating your vegetables, so to speak. Oh, and by the way, eating vegetables is a high priority of this staff.
See what I'm saying? Right. What they're asking isn't ludicrous. I think what they've done a good job of
they've explained a lot of the why, you know?
Thank you. Exactly. They've come in and just been like, yeah, dude, you guys are going to eat three times at the training table. Well, why? Well, because then you're going to fuel your body with excellent nutrition. And then if you fuel your body with excellent nutrition, then right? We're going to practice at 6 a.m. Why? Well, actually, studies show that testosterone levels are the highest, and then that makes you more. You know what I mean? There's like a plan for all of that, and the guys are just doing it. And by the way, if there's a huge weed problem or a partying problem on the team, but you're practicing at 6:30 or 6 a.m.,
yeah, that didn't go so well.
That in the bud,
yeah, that didn't go so well at 6 a.m.
Ah, can you imagine getting all like hammered on your old mud or your natty light? Roll it up to a frost practice. God, no, I'm good, man.
There are fewer worse punishments, I think, that exist. We'll kind of get into some of the position groups and some of the players you're looking for this spring to emerge, guys that you have circled. on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. Kranak, before we step away here, you mentioned the assistant coaches. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the buy-in by the offensive line and Coach Austin's kind of surprise at how like willing and ready these guys are at. And listen, if you're on if you're an offensive lineman at Nebraska, I mean that's special, that's important, and you know that the line play has not been up to what you want it to be or it needs to be to represent that brotherhood, that position group. Mm-hmm. I want to go to quarterback for a minute because two guys I tried to spend time with on Wednesday. We heard Frost. That was awesome. And then you got Barrett Rood that's back, and Barrett and Mike Babcock are talking Grateful Dead, and it was really cool. I mean, it was just cool to, you know, Barrett's like, you got any football questions? I'm like, well, yeah, but I'd rather hear you and Babbers talk about the Grateful Dead for a little bit. I'll ask you about Honus here in about 5 minutes, but you guys tell me about your T-shirts, you know, going after this concert, this date, this era. I'm just going to sit back and listen to you guys talk about live music. It's way better than anything I got for you. So that was cool to see Barrett Rood again. He's such a great player, but I'm excited to have him back in town. And then there's Mario Verduzco, Kranak, and there's a bunch of us around the table, and I had a chance to ask him a couple of things. And one thing that I was like, okay, what's appealing when you're out recruiting or you walk into a quarterback room? Why is it easy to appeal to these kids? I mean, why do kids want to come play quarterback for you? Why do kids want to come play quarterback in this system? And he's like, look, we got credibility. And I'm paraphrasing all of it, okay? Right. But we got credibility because we did well at Central Florida. The offense is you know, pretty high power. It's fun. But he's like, honestly, there's so much buzz around the country. Scott Frost, and his eyes got real big. He's like, it's self-serving to say, it's playing into this narrative that's already out there that, you know, the golden child's back, whatever. But he's like, I am 1,000% serious. It's Scott Frost. That is the end-all, be-all for kids out there that want to play quarterback. They're still recruiting their butts off and working hard to get quality kids at quarterback. But, man, there's so much reception. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. And he went on to talk about leadership. How do you teach someone to be a leader? And Verduzco's like, man, you can be loud or you can be quiet. Either way works, but it comes down to performance. And here's how we get performance out of our quarterback. But really, it does nothing to do with what type of verbal guy you are. If you're an in-your-face guy, is he kick butt at quarterback or does he suck? Do we have confidence and faith in him? Mm-hmm. And he was so nails with, hey, leadership comes down to performance. And that makes a ton of sense, but I've never heard that really answered as passionately as it was on Wednesday by Verduzco. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's one of the storylines you're going to hear in spring and in fall. Hey, why about the leadership? How about the leadership? Well, he nailed it. Can we get these guys ready to play at a high level and can they go win ball games? Then the leadership will take care of itself.
Oh, completely. Yeah, it's an overall approach to kind of the standard and what you're asking of guys and what you expect. And this isn't to say that, I mean, every program, every coach wants that. They want great performance, right? No one's in the profession to field a crappy 4-8 team. Riley,
those are fun years, aren't they? Come on.
You know, I mean, you know, Riley and his staff, you're not in the sport if you're not competitive, you know, if you don't have that competitive streak.
Right.
But it just feels like the level of thought that goes into the why and the methods are really deep with this staff. I mean, dude, we haven't even talked about Travis Fisher and the things that he said, it is so refreshing. What were we talking about leading into last year with the defensive backs? Like, hold on, you're anointing a guy who has shown he won't tackle. You're anointing him a starter already. What?
Right.
Right? And we're just like, what is that? What? How's that? No. And then what happened this past year? Well, the dude didn't tackle. Mm-hmm. Just like you thought. So what are the first things out of Fisher's mouth, basically, when he talks to the media? He's like, we're going to hit or you ain't going to play, period. And that's his number one thing.
I'm not calling anybody out. I'm just saying.
Oh, my God. No, he even mentioned on film. He even mentioned. He's like, yeah, you're going to hit, unlike what I've been seeing on film. He's like, you ain't going to play for me. You can't play for me if you're not hitting. You're going to hit. And he is sending that message. It is not subtle. He says that there's a 24-hour, you have a 24-hour decision to make. If you decide to bail out on hitting, we catch you doing that on tape, you got 24 hours to figure out whether or not you're going to hit again. If you don't, you're out. Right? And I'm just like, yes! Dude, that's the attitude. That's the approach that's been missing. They'll do what is asked. The players will do what is asked of them. You don't ask them to hit, they're not going to hit. Some of them.
Well, if you don't ask them to earn it, they're going to feel entitled.
If you don't value that, if you don't reinforce that as a coach, if you let players not hit, and they can keep their black shirt, and they can still roll out there and start.
Yeah.
Why the hell are you going to hit? Like, because you're making that decision. Like, I can keep my black shirt. I'm a starter. And I can potentially avoid injury by not sticking my nose in there. That's not going to fly with Fisher. That's not going to fly with the team anymore. And you have that across the board at each position. Offensive line. No, you are no longer going to be a slob. Body-wise. You know what I'm saying? Like, no more sloppy. Sorry, man. Nope. No more Twinkies and ho-hos at 3 a.m. And then, no. Three training table meals. First one in the weight room. Like, that ain't going to fly anymore. So it's good. It's just so good. And it's so hard not to get swept up in all this crap because you're still going to be dealing with a brand new quarterback running a brand new system.
Right. Which we'll get into here
against
next.
The toughest schedule in the country.
Right. We'll right. We'll get into that next, but you feel okay about it. Whatever happens next year, you feel good about the direction of things. And
are we underselling it? Are we underselling it? Should we expect more?
No. Well, hang on to that. We'll get back to it. Weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, great to be with you. Speaking of no more sloppy, how about Madonna Proactive? How about workouts? How about fitness? How about health? How about wellness goals? 56th and Pine Lake. It's time for you to take a serious look at Madonna Proactive and take a tour today. The facility is second to none in the capital city. 402-420-0000. And it's not only beautiful, but it also has results for you. 130 classes offered each week that's included in your membership when it comes to cardio workouts, when it comes to weights, walking track, three pools, the only aqua track in Lincoln. And maybe it's time that you've said, okay, let's get trained for that 10K or half marathon or Ironman, or let's get into free weights, or let's do TRX classes. Let's just play some pickleball at $5 a game, or not. I'm talking about fun you can have with the family. Maybe you can take your son or daughter, work on those free throws, basketball courts aplenty at Madonna Proactive. Take your tour today with Madonna Proactive, madonnaproactive.org, 56th and Pine Lake, the location. Make a phone call, 402-420-0000. Get that call in, make an appointment, take the tour, make the switch today to Madonna Proactive. You will love it, you'll enjoy it, and you'll feel better with it. A quick timeout, we'll dive more into spring ball, that excitement level, that zero resistance, the buy-in that is going on. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Glad to have you back.
Yes, sir. You heard me right.
Here are the guys, Schmidt and Kranak.
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7 1/2 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that every 5 minutes until one of us passes out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
Great to be with you. Hope you're well. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Weekend edition, Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, 80s action star. Andrew Anderson is going to be sitting in next week as Colton will be somewhere for spring break. It's like, yes, yes, I will. That's pretty good. Kranak, you see Blair Kirkhoff's story this morning?
I sure did, out of the Kansas City Star.
Blair's friend of the show. We love Blair. And you know how many Nebraska fans are down in the Kansas City area? And just some examples of this national buy-in, right? Mm-hmm. Take Christmas, Mardi Gras, St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day. The 4th of July, Halloween. Mix it all those things together and you love. That's how much joy I felt. That's Jamie, class of 93. If Scott Frost at Nebraska was a stock, I would invest my entire net worth in that stock. That's Michael, class of 07. And this is from Bob down in Olathe. It's the best thing to happen to Nebraska in 20 years. That's the fan base. Now, there's no quotes from a player. Did end up getting caught up with Mick Stoltenberg this week. We'll have that next weekend for you. And there's a sense of calm. There's excitement. And there is kind of just this understanding that it's going to be better. Yeah, the identity that's going to be reshaped. There's a mission with Frost in Nebraska. And there's an idea what Nebraska football should be. So, Kranak, let's get into that topic of are we underselling this a little bit, or are we overhyping this a little bit? Because you're very cautious to say, okay, are you going to have a quarterback, and are you going to be able to navigate somewhat successfully this 2018 schedule? You're very upfront with that.
Well, it's weird. It's because like, overall, everybody's sort of written off the season in some ways.
Have you?
You know what I mean?
I go in, you know what, man? Maybe I'm way, 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 way too optimistic. And I've always been beer half full. You and I mean, how long have we been doing this and how many coaching changes we've been through?
Okay? Oh, my God.
So, right? Yeah. So every year it's going to be okay. No, listen, you and I aren't the type to scream for change or firing, right? But there's an understanding of, okay, they're going to go this direction. Let's get our facts together, and then let's kind of throw this out there. How can this work? Well, yeah. we've looked at how this will work for Frost, how it didn't work for Riley, how it didn't work for Bo in some instances, how it did work for Bo in some, you know. So we've been through from Frank to now. And what I think the single most important issue or element to this question of why it's going to be good this time is understanding, and Scott Frost has understanding that nobody before him had, or maybe they had it but didn't choose to kind of roll with it. He gets the Nebraska blueprint. He gets the single most important aspect of being different and good is this development. He's all in on that, and that's what'll be different for Nebraska in a positive sense.
And has broken it down into different parts. Because I think most coaches, I think a lot of coaches would agree, yes, development is super important, you know? Like, who would fight that? You know, of course.
How are you going to go about doing it, though?
Right. And if you sort of deconstruct Nebraska's success, it's that they took each one of those things that go into development and just kind of maximized the crap out of each of those things, you know, like nutrition, huge deal, you know, Husker Power, huge deal, big deal. I mean, it's branded Husker Power for crying out loud. How many places had like branded workout regimens, you know? with Zach Duvall now, sleep. That's a thing. They track the player's sleep. What? Like what? You're tracking their sleep? Yeah. I'm tracking their sleep, tracking their nutrition, tracking their workouts. It's so, it all matters. It all matters. And I think collectively what it says, and I think we all know this is the Nebraska kind of difference. This is why Nebraska was able to step up a little bit more and I sort of outperform all the natural disadvantages that Nebraska had with recruiting and with several walk-ons that were contributors to begin with. It's just taken more seriously here. You know, it's for the football junkie.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Nebraska is. Nebraska's not for everybody. It's totally not. There are other ways to win. You know, you can stockpile talent and just be, you know, chuck 60-yard passes and then maul people on the ground like USC in their heyday. They have killer defense with Junior Seau clone linebackers.
Right.
Like that's, you can absolutely win like that. But it's here. You just have to kind of like it more. You have to embrace the grind more. You got to be a junkie. These dudes are now, think about it. You have to basically dedicate your life to it at a different level to win here. At a different level.
You do, and you got to buy into the lifestyle. What he's preaching
exactly
is a lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, think about that. 6 a.m. practicing. What time does that mean you're getting up? 4:30? They're tracking your sleep, by the way. So what time does that mean you're going to bed? Like 8? In college? You know? You're going to bed at like 8.
Some of us can pass out by 8, you know?
Dude, sometimes I'm just getting warmed up at 8 p.m., you know? So, I mean, think about that. You're in college. You're going to bed at 8, 8:30. You're getting up at 4, 4:30. You're practicing. You're going to class. You're going to your specific position group meetings, going to study hall. You're getting your workout in. 3 training table meals that day. Day's over. Repeat. Right? Like, and that's your life. Are you down with that? And I think the other thing about it, though, is that Frost has the group convinced that that's what it takes, too. You know, like do you guys want to win or not? You know, if you don't want to win, cool. Yeah, just go to bed whenever and don't eat at the training table and, you know.
See ya.
Don't get good sleep. Go, cool. Go for it, man. You're not going to win. You're not going to have a spot on the team and you're not going to win if you're like that. So it's sort of up to you. Do you guys want to take this serious or not? And they're taking it serious, man. And so as we come into the year, everybody looks at the schedule. They think new quarterback. They think new coach. And they're sort of, it's just like best case scenario, 8-4, 8-5, right? Like that's pretty much what everybody's saying. Best case scenario is like 8-4, right? Basically, is
yeah.
That the feeling you're getting?
I think 8-4 would be tremendous.
Worst case, 5-7.
Granted, this was just after one practice yesterday. I think they're encouraged. I don't want to say they were discouraged, but I think there was some hesitation based on just when they came in, how far things were down the rung when it came to strength and conditioning, right? Your starting point was well behind where
you can flip that quickly.
Sure.
You can.
But when it comes to like depth and numbers of it, that's going to take some time to build up. You know what else happened with these guys coming in and they've like accepted? They were challenged. They were challenged mentally and physically by the head coach and the staff to get moving or be left behind. And that's one thing. Back to our conversation, the first segment, the adults being the adults, how many guys were challenged?
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, when push came
compared
to shove.
Compared to like when Riley came in.
Yes, 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 yeah. Yes.
Oh, God.
You in, you out.
Sort of openly, there was a bit of a mutiny.
Sure.
It wasn't even that subtle. Like, guys definitely weren't, like, the bulk of the team didn't quote unquote buy in. You know, they just didn't. So they had a weird locker room situation. Some guys all pissed off that their position coach was gone or that Bo was gone, which is sort of understandable. But this is a situation that's entirely different. Like he's got everybody's attention. They all get it. It's sort of like, who the hell are you if you're not going to listen? If you're not going to do everything that's asked, you know? Like, really? You're just going to go against the entire state's wishes and the entire program's wishes and like get the F out of here. Who's going to do that?
No, absolutely.
They have their instructions, you know? All the players have their instructions.
Kranak, what position group are you kind of geeked at most? Is it quarterback?
In terms of, I think they'll perform?
They'll either perform or you're just watching like a hawk. You're most interested in. It's the Honda of Lincoln poll question on HailVarsity.com. Which position group on offense are you paying the closest attention to this spring? O-line, quarterback, running back, wideouts, tight ends. You know what? Subtly on offensive line without Decker and Conrad, and your question mark at left tackle with Gates gone, O-line's, that there's some questions there, right? Who's going to be at left tackle and who's going to be at center? But the quarterbacks, I mean, I don't know. After getting caught up with Coach Calhoun and hearing Mario talk, Coach Verduzco, I think there's great options at quarterback.
I think so, too.
I mean, I think all three could win the job.
Yeah. And I think people have sort of written off O'Brien. But the couple pictures I've seen of him, they posted a video. Posted a video.
Yeah, he's almost working out. Yeah, I mean, O'Brien's down almost 20 pounds.
Right. And didn't we talk about that going into it? Like, he's the most like clay out of any of them.
Right.
You know, he just had some baby fat and like just, you know, he didn't look like a real chiseled, a finely tuned athlete. You know, he just didn't.
Well, and I think getting in the playbook has picked up considerably for him, especially since Jebbia came in and that's all he did.
So down 20 pounds, you said?
Yep.
Yeah, he looks like it. He looks kind of lean and strong and like, you know, he's
probably
actually
quicker,
hitting the weight room.
Probably faster.
Yeah. And that's a big dude, man. People undersell that, but you're talking, that's a big quarterback. You said he's down 20 pounds. He was probably at 230 around there.
He's looking closer, like 238, bro. That's what he was last year.
Okay, so now you're looking at a 6'3", 220-pound quarterback.
Yeah.
That's working out.
220, 225, yeah.
That can run. He can run.
Yeah, he can move.
Okay. Frost can relate to that guy.
Sure he can.
He's like, that's how I was. You know?
If I'm gonna place bets, okay, I'm gonna put my money on Jebbia just because of the processing.
Yep.
Going somewhere with the ball quickly.
Yep. I agree. Yeah, I think I agree. But I think you have some options there. You know, I think you have I can picture sort of that Chris Leak,
sure,
Tim Tebow scenario,
right?
In some ways, Patrick's a big people undersell that. Like, that's a big kid. If you can get a bulldozer at quarterback in this kind of offense,
the question is
he willing? Is he willing to be that guy?
He ran for 700 yards his senior year. Yeah.
Yep.
So it's more about the high school coach at the time saying, don't get hit, get down. And it was that way too with Jebbia. So,
right.
I mean, that's kind of the crux of it. We'll spend a few more minutes here this hour talking some Husker spring ball. We'll get some thoughts on Coach Miles and his upcoming meeting with Bill Moose. That's around the corner. We're 15 minutes away from Brandon Vogel, Gary Sharp next hour. Weekend edition of Hail Varsity continues. First, though, thoughts with Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. Go check out pure-grown diamonds. They're 100% real diamonds that are grown in a lab. They are beautiful. They are eco-friendly. They are 10 to 40% less than earth-mined diamonds. See why they're one of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. And maybe it's time to get that special someone a birthday or anniversary gift. Pure Grown Diamonds, the answer for you with Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer. 12th and O downtown, Lincoln, South Point, Pavilion Lincoln, Rod West in Grand Island. Log on today, SauterHeyman.com. We'll wind down hour one. A quick timeout. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now back with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
A few minutes here before we say goodbye in hour one. 10 minutes away, Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Great, great work. The first 100 days of Frost, a wonderful series by Vogel, Dr. Petey, Derek Peterson, going on for you. And I know Jacob Padilla and Greg Smith have also contributed to that that series. And Mike Babcock with coverage. It's just wonderful. Check out spring coverage today with HailVarsity.com and magazine. Subscribe, premium content you'll love, recruiting thoughts with the website, HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Also, get the magazine. Less than $30 for a year. That's 10 issues and the yearbook. You can log on, HailVarsity.com/subscribe, or dial up 8553. Husker. Kranach, we spent a lot of time here this first hour about the buy-in, about the belief, about kind of the single-minded lockstep you have with players and coaches that you love, and you hear that pump-up version this time of year a lot, but you feel and believe it because of Frost, his background, his understanding, his performance, his track record. Let's go to basketball here for a second, and well, here's what you got. You got the second best season ever. Had a season that was awesome until it wasn't. I mean, you want to talk about the anti-momentum. You end with a thud against Michigan and then Mississippi State. And now you have a meeting, a five-year, I don't want to call it pitch, but a five-year plan for Miles when he sits down with Bill Moose early this week. And My two cents is this. Miles has earned another year. I don't know that he's earned 7 years. I don't even know that he's earned five. But I think you're going to have a five-year deal put together. My suggestion here is load it up for a bump based on what the projection's supposed to be next year with this group coming back. Pay him and take care of him for this year. Pay him and take care of him for next year. But don't lock yourself into where you're spending a ton of money to get rid of the guy if next year or the year after turns into 12-19 again with a loaded roster.
Mm-mm. It's tough, man. I have a hard time. I respect the fact that they had 22 wins this year.
Sure. I respect the work he did the last couple of years building this team.
I'm not throwing that away, but you have to look at the schedule. I mean, you just have to. And it was a really bad schedule. It was almost a historically bad schedule for all of college basketball ever. Right? I mean, seriously, that's how bad it was. That's why they couldn't get into the tournament.
Right.
Because even though they won 22, the schedule was terrible.
No credit for it.
So can you really rank this as a 22-win team? You know what I mean? Like, they won the 22 games, but, you know, against a really awful schedule. And when they got tested, they failed.
Yep. All right, we'll spend a few more minutes on this. More football, spring ball.
Presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranach.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Back with you, hour two, Hail Varsity Radio, weekend edition, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt. Mark Kranach and you, Colton Stone, action star from the 80s. He's producing and engineering. Andrew Anderson sitting in, taking notes. He'll be in the hot seat next Saturday as Colton is. Colton, where are you going? Anywhere?
We're going to Kansas City, briefly St. Louis, and then we're going to small town Illinois.
Okay. So nowhere warm?
No.
Okay.
It's going to be cold everywhere.
Fine. Fine. Good for you. So a little Colton World Tour next week on spring break. I'm betting Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, will be at a sports book somewhere. Or running from people he owes in a sports book. Krainak, how you doing? You get charged up? You get to the training table? You ready to go this second hour?
Man, I'll tell you, I'm leaving for Atlanta today. I'm going on spring break
next week, too.
Yeah, well, yeah, the kids are off, you know. So going to Atlanta, going to be in Atlanta and Savannah all week. Nice. Going to a Atlanta United soccer game tonight, Ooh. The MLS.
Okay.
And they play in the Mercedes-Benz Dome.
Sure.
You know? So that should be, and they have a huge following. They're close to like a million followers on Twitter. So it should be sort of a quasi-European soccer experience in some ways. And then tomorrow, the College Football Hall of Fame, which I believe Brandon Vogel has been to.
I think there's a picture of Vogel in the College Football Hall of Fame. Yeah. There needs to be.
Is Brandon with us?
He is, yeah. I was bringing him in, and I was just waiting for you to bring up the College Football Hall of Fame. And there's a lot of Husker stuff in that College Football Hall of Fame. Vogues, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. The College Football Hall of Fame is great. It's very cool. Yeah, it really is. I thought so. It's you get like a little RFID badge and select your favorite team. So when you go up to all the displays, it immediately shows you. So Krainak, you can choose Iowa if you want, and then you get all the Iowa content when you want to go. and also Atlanta United thing should be. I haven't been to one of their games, but their following is huge. It is. Atlanta has exploded with soccer for some reason, but that should be fun. I'll be interested to hear your report from that.
Yeah, I don't follow soccer closely. Like, I just don't. But in the past year, for whatever, I went to, happened to be out in the Bay Area during the Gold Cup for, what's that called? The organization for the Americas, the CONCACAF. So I saw Team U.S. versus Jamaica in that one, and then went to the Kansas City Sporting KC. They're fun. Like, soccer games in person with an atmosphere are fun because they're quick, too. They only last like 2 hours. And there's, there's the chance and there's it's cool. I don't mind it at all. But I don't follow like the players. You know what I mean? I don't follow like the teams. But it's a good experience overall. It's becoming a thing in the U.S. in some ways.
Yeah, it is. We've talked at least people in the soccer circles have talked for decades about when is it finally going to catch on? And there's not going to be a moment, but it's slowly happening. Like, it's not strange to see soccer highlights now, to read about soccer online, like as it works its way into, this is just like, I see soccer now as much as I see hockey. It's happening. That's how you know it's happening.
Yeah. Yep.
Keeping with the foot theme, do you think Scott Frost will ever get over his fear of kickers?
Depends on how good Barrett Pickering is right out of the gate and how many close games Nebraska's in 2018.
So that's a great answer. That's a great answer. Old Ross fired the question, talk about your kicking situation, and Frost kind of blinked and said, I know more about slap shots and hockey, and I can't kick a football. I just stay the hell away from kickers.
With this offense, do you think they recruit kickers and tell them, like, look, we hope that you're basically only kicking extra points and kicking off? We need you to be able to hit a field goal if we need you to, but don't plan on doing a lot of that if things were working.
Tell me if I'm wrong here. Was the punter a Nebraska kid, or was he just a great personality from Florida? Down in Central Florida.
Yeah, I don't recall.
Because he would break out the imaginary golf club and like swing and hit his approach shot inside the 20. It was beautiful.
Yes, he definitely displayed no fear of failure. So the message got through to him wherever he was from.
he was like Sebastian Janikowski's body with like mad Hungarian Habrowski hair.
Yes.
That guy was serious, man.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. We're going to pull this thing back into football. No fear of failure. You said it. It's the mantra in Vogue's. Why do you think it's been received so well by this team? Now, it didn't week three against CU or week four on the road at Michigan. But we all want to do things free. We all want to just act and believe we're bulletproof with whatever great thing we're trying to do. In this instance, it's football. But if you can really have enough faith that what you do is working, is right, and is going to be unstoppable, that's such a powerful thing. That's such a powerful mental edge. And that's kind of like step one in getting this team off on the right foot, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it is big. And I think part of the reason that those sorts of messages have been received so well so far, and you know, we're really just at the beginning stages of it, is because the actions behind it, the program itself is structured so they're not just words. You know, I've watched a lot of basketball the last 2 days, and I do this every year. I always sort of amuse myself with whatever, you know, catchphrases are on the team's shooting shirts, because like, it's just, you know, some of those things probably come straight from Under Armour. The coaches had no input, and it's just kind of like, here's your shooting shirt. It says clock in. Great. That's, you know, blue collar mentality. Awesome. But this no fear of failure thing, you know, they were talking about that back at UCF. You know, it struck me. I remember writing about it at the end of December when, you know, after talking to those guys. And it has to be more than that. Like, anybody can come up with a slogan, but this feels structured to, okay, well, if that's our mantra, how do we live that? And you heard Ross talk about it on Wednesday about, you know, we're gonna look for ways to constructively coach these kids. We're not looking for the opportunities to berate them and let them know when they did something wrong. But the opposite of that. So that kind of backs up. Yeah, it's okay. Then you don't have to be afraid of screwing up. We'll get it right.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hail Varsity Radio. You know, all the assistant coaches had their roundtable this week with the press conference, and so a lot of time with reporters, covered a lot of topics. One of the themes that's jumping out to me is it feels like, almost to a man, they're all pleasantly surprised at the level of buy-in that they're getting from this roster. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that did seem to be a common theme from Wednesday, I would say.
Yeah, and should that change kind of the outlook on the team ceiling this year, considering that those sort of off the field things like buy-in, things like leadership, things like how you doing in the weight room, It didn't feel like those are going to be as much of an obstacle as a lot of coaching transitions would experience.
Yeah, I mean, I think it should. So that's one good piece for Nebraska potentially in 2018. And the other thing that doesn't happen normally in a coaching change is downloading an entire staff. You know, particularly one this sort of young in its total staff lifespan. So not only do you keep that whole group together, but then you also have they're not doing this for the first time either now. So I think for those reasons, it's okay to get a little bit optimistic about what Nebraska is potentially capable of doing right away in year one. You know, when Frost showed up, and we know an important piece of the whole decision to come was having the time to build it the right way. So it was good to start that way. And, you know, Husker fans may end up at the end of the year still needing to lean back and say, okay, you know, we said we're going to be patient. Let's get to that point. But since so many people started there, it may give them a little bit of freedom. And I think just when you look at the roster, they've got a good amount of guys returning. If they're feeling good about the buy-in and things like that, there's a ceiling here that's probably a little bit higher than it was, I think, 2 or 3 months ago, and probably even a little bit higher than what kind of people had set for themselves as realistic and patient expectations.
Brandon Vogel's joining us here, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogues, we've heard a lot from Frost, and he has kind of laid out his vision, his blueprint, the why to the fans, to the team, this will work, and the work ethic and blueprint, and here's how we're going to go about it. The assistant coaches, and you've seen and read and heard from and spent time with a number of them, but of the assistants, pick one that you're most intrigued by, that you're interested in, and you're anxious to know more about. Which assistant, either coordinator or position coach, are you kind of like, wow, this guy's going to be pretty awesome to cover?
That's a really tough draft because I'm legitimately interested in all of them. I think I told you, Chris, when we spoke early in the week that I've kind of been waiting for guys to come along and talk about football this way for my entire career.
No, because, I know. we all have, my friend.
I think what you're seeing is, these guys have thought about things in a non-football context, and that makes it really interesting. But if I had to choose, I'm tempted to go with DeWitt, but I think I might go with Verduzco just because he's got a little bit more experience. You know, he was out on the West Coast with Walsh and Terry Shea and part of that whole, like, era. I mean, he didn't coach directly under Walsh, but he was around, and just he has a little bit more experience. So I'm kind of interested in like what that guy's life has been like and what his story really is.
He's a punk. He's good stuff. I mean, and this is 30 minutes to fawn over, but he was just a treat to listen to, just to hit on a ton of things, you know.
Yeah, Brandon. I mean, you just said you've been waiting for people to talk about football like this for your whole career. What do you mean by that? Expand on that a little bit.
Well, I mean, they're capable. It's clear that they've thought deeply about many of these issues. And so I don't think you get that all the time with a football coach. So any football coach can say, okay, it's 3rd and 6. They come out in this defensive front. What are you going to do? Anyone can answer that question, but this staff has a willingness to go and talk about, I think, from what we've seen so far, okay, well, here's why you do that. And here's the best way to teach that. And here's why I think that, because I read this book about, and with guys like Reduce, because they're pulling all of those sort of influences in. And it's, even Greg Austin in midweek was talking about sort of the video game generation and what's different about trying to teach kids of this age versus even, when he played, which was still in the 2000s. And there's coaches on this staff that are significantly older than that. So all of those things kind of represent a comprehensive and thoughtful approach to me that I don't think is common. We've talked a lot of the time about, it's not going to be just about football. I think to be a successful coach, it can't be that way either.
You gotta have other elements of life in there. You're right. And it seems like, what do you think? We were talking about this earlier, and I want to get your take. If you were to define the lifestyle that Frost is trying to implement to this team, what is that definition?
Let's see. Maybe, probably hard work, I guess. I think if you boil it down, that kind of gets to the essence of it. So when you make this thing pretty manageable, I wrote earlier this week about the 100 days of Frost and kind of what we'd learned and his competitive edge. And I think when you get to the bottom of all that, it really is a question of, here's what we're asking you to do. It's really hard. Are you going to do it or not? And you can weed some people out, but you can also maximize people's potential that way. And I think there's a great advantage to doing that on a daily basis, because then it becomes manageable. Then you can say, okay, here it is. It's the question every morning when you get up. Are you going to make practice at 6 a.m.? There's a strong current of that in this program. So I don't know if there's a great one word summation of that, but that's kind of what I see as the glowing neon sign for Nebraska football right now that says, hey, this is what we are as we start out here.
Man, and Brandon, you have been, I think we all have been in some way or another. How much talk have we had about identity since going back to the Bo years? You know, it's been such a topic. And then I still think you've put it best during the Riley era when you just described it as just sort of football. You know, just like it just doesn't seem to be a whole lot behind it. It's not like those guys don't care. It's not like they're not competent in terms of schemes. Like, that's fine, but it's just football. You know, there's really nothing behind it. It feels like that's the element that is sort of switched.
Yeah, and that's where they're starting from. You know, and whether they set out to address this question directly or whether it has happened through everything they've learned, you got to know why you're doing something, because winning is hard. It's really hard to do, even at a place like Nebraska that has some advantages, has some disadvantages. So why are you going to be willing to put the work in? What are you about? And this coaching staff seems to be asking those questions. I don't think it's that common, really. Not just at Nebraska, but anywhere. It becomes too easy to be like, well, this is what I know about football. This is what I believe in. So this is how we're going to teach it. Kind of got to focus on the questions more than you do the answers.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine, and we hit on that why, because kids want to know why. And I think Nebraska's done a marvelous job of connecting and giving a very good why. Well, here's why. To this team, to this this group of fellas, as to, you know, this is why it will work. This is why we had success. This is why we're asking you to do this, and it's for your benefit, can believe me or not, but here's some of our proof. Vogues, last stop before we say goodbye. You were where last night when Virginia went down, and do you want to fire up the I told you so Schmidt on Arizona?
No, I'll let that stand for itself. It's endlessly entertaining to me, like taking credit for these random events when you happen to get them right. So I tend to go like way too far in that direction. Who knows? Arizona did not look very good, but play that game again tomorrow. They probably win it. As for the Retrievers, my beautiful golden Retrievers, I was sitting at home on Twitter, I think, like everybody else. So nothing too exciting there, but I still enjoyed it quite a bit.
They looked phenomenal. They lost by like 40 3 weeks ago. But how, isn't that just the beauty of sports, how a team can get hot and do no wrong? I mean, it's just incredible to watch.
It is incredible to watch. And, you know, I'm not a hoops junkie the way that I am with football anymore, but I'll be interested to see sort of the unpackaging of Virginia's style of play and how they choose to do things and why it hasn't worked in the tournament. I'm looking forward to those sorts of pieces to see what's happening there.
Yeah. Sort of reminds you of early 90s Nebraska bowl game, right? Like where you're just sort of, you know, everybody was like, oh, this option offense, it's not going to work. And it turns out that wasn't the case, right? Like, it can work. There was something else happening there. Yeah, I wonder about that, too.
I actually had that exact thought last night. I was watching it because I covered Virginia when they were in Omaha, you know, 6-7 years ago. So they've been to the kind of brink for a good bit here. And I actually thought to myself, I'd be like, well, having watched Nebraska, you know, this might take another 7-8 years, guys, of you just doing this before you finally break through.
That's about right. Vogues, have a great weekend. We'll be reading HailVarsity.com. Thanks so much for what you're doing, bud. Appreciate you.
All right. Take care.
There he is, Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine Weekend Edition. HailVarsity.com and Magazine, Hail Varsity Radio, Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt. A quick timeout. We'll get caught up with the Iron Horse. Gary Sharp's next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Now back with Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
Great to be back with you. Hail Varsity Radio Weekend Edition presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranek. Welcome in the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. Sharpie, good morning. How are you, bud?
Hey, happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
You too. And you got started a little early on St. Patty's Day because you were the one guy in the world that said, you know, Maryland, Baltimore County, come on down. You had that picked, right?
Wow. Chaminade, get out of the way. You've now been replaced by Maryland, Baltimore County. You know what? I posed a question, and I somehow thought this was the year that Virginia would break through, so I had them in San Antonio, and, you know, everybody wants to hear about your brackets. But I posed the question earlier this week on my show. I said, what will happen sooner? A 16 over a 1 or a 12 seed or higher makes the Final Four? And you looked at the 16 versus 1s and you said, there's not really an opportunity there because there's such a gap nowadays between the 15 and 16. But last night showed why this is one of the greatest, if not the greatest tournament that is out there, and the greatest month is that in this sport, you can have a 16 beat a 1. In college football, if we had a bracket, you're not having a 16 beat a 1. But that was sports last night in its full extent. That was a lot of fun, except for the people that were Virginia fans or had Virginia in a very competitive pool winning the national championship.
Well, Gary, you were up close. You were the play-by-play guy for Florida Gulf Coast when, you know, they took the nation by storm and just popped out of nowhere. So you've seen it up close, sort of this random kind of commuter directional school that just doesn't have the tradition, and then they just catch fire. So you've seen that up close. When you're watching UMBC, are you seeing shades of that? Are you seeing some commonalities? And if so, what is it?
Well, maybe if there's one thing familiar. Now, that FGCU team that I was part of when we got to the Sweet 16, that was a really, really good team that not a lot of people knew about because you just hadn't seen them. But both teams were up-tempo, and they played with no fear. And even if you look at Buffalo the night before that beat Arizona, teams that have no fear and believe that they can win and you let them hang around are some of the most dangerous teams because then they don't care what you do. It's all about them. And you saw last night, Maryland Baltimore County immediately knew that they could play on the floor, which is crazy because they had, you go back just a couple of weeks, they had gotten blown out by Albany. But they believed when they stepped on the floor that they had a chance, and Virginia never put them away, and they hung around. But up-tempo, and especially in this day and age of college basketball, with a 30-second shot clock and the three-point shot, it does allow you to come back, but it also allows teams like FGCU in the past, Maryland, Baltimore County, or Buffalo, to pick up the tempo and increase your possessions, and if you get a lead, to continue to add to it. I mean, that was a lot of fun last night. That wasn't, hey, Virginia collapsed. That was a flat-out beating where the team that was better for 40 minutes on the floor showed it, and they were way better than Virginia last night.
And in the mental department, and I don't know if that was an inadvertent transition, Gary, when you talked about no fear, because what was the big theme this week for Nebraska?
Are we talking football,
right?
Or are we talking hoops?
Well,
right?
Top of the morning to you, Kranek.
I mean, right? Like, so let's transition that. You're essentially talking about a team that's playing freely, mentally, right? They're just, I don't care. They're good. They're just going to go play ball, and they're confident in their training and all that. Do you expect? God, we can pick apart why Nebraska has had trouble over the past how many years, and there are a lot of reasons. But God, when you look at it, it's sort of the collapses and the level of the collapses has been the most startling and troubling thing by far, right? Do you think that is something you can zap from this program immediately, as in it's happening now or it's already happened? Or do you think there's still going to be remnants of that when the season kicks off?
Well, I think you can start it, and then you need a case study. You need a game where maybe you have a lead and things start to go sideways. Do you revert back to your old habits, or have you ingrained enough into your players that this isn't going to happen? The thing through this whole process, now that the new staff has been here and they have one practice under their belts, that I really appreciate, and Mark, you're in a very aggressive business community that has sometimes a lot of transition, whether people are leaving your company or moving up, you always have exit interviews, and you ask the question, why? And I think this staff has done a great job of not intentionally going out of their way to bash the previous staff. Now, there are jabs here and there. I mean, that's pretty clear. But they have all asked the question, why? Why, when it was 17-17 against Wisconsin, and you had momentum going, you were at home, the stadium was rocking, that the next drive you immediately let up a touchdown and you never back into the game? Why did that happen? Why was there not accountability in the weight room? Asking the question why is going to go a long way for the staff before they ever get into the X's and O's, because they're finding out the mindset. And I've said from the start, they didn't inherit a 4-8 roster. They had inherited a 4-8 mentality. But this staff is so confident. And you guys can correct me if I'm wrong or agree, or we can talk about this. Scott Frost comes across as extremely cocky, but not a D-bag. You know, we all know people that
there's a difference. Cocky, there's a difference in there.
Super cocky that you don't want to be around. Scott Frost comes across as confident, not a D-bag, and that he knows what he's doing. And if you just listen and you get on board, he will help you get where you want to go. And I think that's exactly what this team needs right now. So I think it's very fascinating, especially the last couple of weeks, when you hear about Nebraska really has made some giant improvements in a month. If you go back to what Scott said at the signing press conference to what he was saying on Wednesday, this program's come a long ways in a month. They've made up some ground that I think puts them further ahead when they are on the field here full-time in the spring.
Dude, I cannot help but think of the comparisons to P.J. Fleck here.
Well, there's
confident and cocky, but kind of a D-bag.
Yeah, the D rating, right? The factor there. Gary Sharp's with us. Sharpie, you mentioned the word why, and there's been a lot of questions asked, but also are you pretty pleased, if you're a Nebraska fan, how this team, this staff, these assistants have answered the question why? Not just asked it, but also answered it. They're telling guys, when it comes to blueprint, when it comes to this is why we're asking you to do all these things, it'll work. They've done a good job of connecting with this roster, I think, on the why they're having them do all these different things. Do you agree with that?
I agree with that, and they're showing the how, and yeah, especially with Zach Duvall. Why are we doing this lift? Okay, this is how it's going to benefit you. Just trust me. So there's a little bit of a trust factor, but they're telling you why they're going to do it and then how you're going to do it and how it will benefit you on the field. So it's basically on-the-fly teaching that doesn't seem like we're talking down to you, because we're all in it and we all are on the same page. And I also think another key thing, that the whole staff being together for a while at Central Florida and now coming to Nebraska, players are very cognizant of body action of adults and coaches and personnel, and they see a staff that really, really likes being around each other, that all appear to be on the same page, that they're all speaking the same language. And you watch players' reaction with their position coaches. I think they've attached themselves quicker to their position coaches here than some of these guys that have been through a couple of transitions. There's just a lot of things. Now, all of this stuff that we're talking about doesn't mean immediately Nebraska is going to win 9 games. They're going to be in the hunt for the West. But it's the little things that have plagued Nebraska for almost 2 decades that this staff asked the question why, they studied it, and they're not going to let that happen. And then you start working on the talent that you have, and you're confident enough in your schemes offensively, defensively, and special teams that you can win football games. It's really refreshing to see what this staff has done in a short amount of time. And then it kind of angers you a little bit to say, how do you mess up Nebraska football like it's been messed up for 15 years? It's almost a fail-proof system. And these guys have said, you know what, you're absolutely right. This is our blueprint to make sure that it's not fail-proof and it is successful.
You know, Gary, some of the coaches have said, this is the one thing that I don't think they've been truthful about, is we haven't watched much film from last year. Yeah, right. You know they have. They've watched. They're trying to get a feel for their players, and they've had to have been disgusted. And out of all the roundtables this week, I thought Travis Fisher, by far, the defensive backs coach, was the the most disappointed in what he saw on film. Not so subtle what that guy was saying this week about how you need to hit or you don't play.
Well, and that's some of those guys that he was not calling out individually. That's scary because you're on film. And whether you cashed it in the last month or not, that's on film, and they've seen that, and they know that you have a tendency to go that route if things go south. And you're right. They have watched film. I think just listening to Scott, he has watched film just to get an idea of what personnel look like. I don't know that he's gone into, hey, this guy, boy, technique-wise, he's just terrible. I think they just got a sense of, okay, what do guys look like on the field? But, you know, it doesn't hurt to say, hey, this is what I saw you did wrong last year. That isn't going to fly this year. And it also ties back into competition. It seems like everything, whether it be with the staff internally or what they want on the field, everything's a fun competition. Okay? You're working hard, but it's a competition that you go, man, this is kind of fun. And everything is a competition in the weight room, in the meeting room, on the field, and even in the classroom, which I think it's another subtle thing, guys, that I know we don't have time for. I know we're washing away 2017, but have you guys been surprised by the references to guys not going to class?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like just from top to bottom, everything that was not being looked over was completely missed, that you have coaches that say, you know what, we got to get back to going to class. Oh, what? So
Weren't the signals there with Nate Gary, right? I mean,
well, it just seemed like, you know, and it's not just the head guy that said it. It's other position coaches that say we got to be good in all the phases of being a student athlete in Nebraska, and that includes going to class. I mean, we kind of thought that was just assumed most of the time. It was kind of a washout the past week, this week, and now it's all us, and we're moving forward, and this is how we're going to do it. It was a good week for Nebraska football. I think there's a lot of encouraging signs, and now it's just time to get to work on the field and guys to go win jobs. And, you know, some people in the next month are going to be moving up or they're going to move on to something else. And, you know what, in this case, it's probably okay for the entire scope of the whole program.
Sharpie, you had a chance to get caught up with Ryan Held one-on-one. How was that? What'd you learn? What'd you take away?
Well, he's got a room that's going to be very competitive, and he wants to make sure that if you're the one guy all the way down to the sixth guy, you matter, that you have a hand in the success of that position and Nebraska winning football games, whether you're on the field or not. And it goes back to competition. You know, you get the sense from the guys that are coming back or new to the staff and new to Nebraska, they love the experience. They love being here. And they have their own that fear of failure where they don't want to let people down. And they want this to work. But he's very passionate about his craft. And the thing also that makes, you know, the fun word that was added this week a lot and has been mentioned at Central Florida, now here in Nebraska, is you look at position groups and guys that they're recruiting or where guys are going to play, it's almost like we're all playing playground football again. Mm-hmm. Where running backs are going to be wide receivers. Wide receivers are going to be running backs. Guards could be tackles. Tackles could be guards. Safeties could be cornerbacks. Cornerbacks could be safeties. It's kind of, you're just looking for the best 11 football players on each side of the line. And you're going to learn to play at multiple positions and have versatility. And that's kind of like we all did when we were kids playing on the playground. You know, sometimes you got to be the running back. Sometimes you got to be the wide receiver. You know, I think it's all-encompassing. I really, this week was eye-opening to me. It's fascinating, the blueprint that Scott has and how they're going to work it. And you know what? You just have the feeling that this time it is going to work because they're learning from the past and they're moving the program forward, that they're not fighting the past. They're embracing the past of success and embracing that the program had issues. That's why we're here. We're not going to let those happen again.
Yep. Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. I know there is so much fascinating. And you sit there and you try to be fair about it. And so you're like, okay, what's going wrong? What's the negative right now? You can't come up with anything yet. You're just like, nope, these guys are literally ticking every single important box right now. So I wonder, did you see the video that Steve Calhoun, he joined, he was on Hail Varsity earlier this week, quarterback's coach, armed and dangerous. He's worked with Jebbia. He's worked with O'Brien since they were youths. Did you see the video he posted? And did you see Patrick O'Brien's? This sounds weird to say. Did you see his body? But I mean, really, did you see?
Thank you, Kranak, for that.
But no, I mean, you talk about a physical transformation. Did you see that?
Yes.
What does that tell you? And does that, just seeing that alone, maybe change your outlook on POB a little bit?
Well, it does from the standpoint of guys getting after it, because Patrick O'Brien had 25% body fat recently. And for him to dial in, and it also, you know what, here's another thing, is you have a strength and conditioning staff that cares about guys, like truly cares about guys and their individual success. And don't, and again, 1 through 150 on this roster, they make the 150th guy appear to be as important as the number one guy. And that goes a long way in what they do as a group in terms of, you know, trying to fight for success, that everybody is in it together. And seeing his transformation lets you know that he feels like he has a new lease on life, that it's a chance for him to move up. And there's a lot of people that have, you know, looked past him thinking, all right, that Tristan Jebbia or Adrian Martinez is going to win the job. And Patrick O'Brien is in it to win it. And he's going to have an ample opportunity this spring to show off and possibly win that job. But for him to do that before he gets on the field, I think says a lot about Patrick O'Brien, that don't overlook him over the next month and his battle to get up there at the top of the quarterback chart.
Sharpie, go ahead.
Sorry to interject real quick. Yeah, and think about it. Think about the fact that he was able to ascend to number two, be a backup, take snaps, obviously without taking the weight room seriously. Like how far he's been able to get a Division I scholarship offer, get multiple offers, and he obviously really hasn't ever hit the weight room.
No.
Gary, get you out of here on this, man. Thanks for your time this morning. Tim Miles, Bill Moose going to get caught up this week. How do you think that meeting goes? What are you projecting here with Nebraska basketball? And how do you remember this season? Is it the ride that was pretty fun? They got to 22 wins, or do you remember the last two games that kind of ended like with a thud?
Well, they had a really good season. That's first and foremost. I will remember more the Michigan game in New York City than what happened in Starkville.
Right.
Throwing that one aside, the Michigan one will sit with me for a while. But I think when they sit down, and it was curious that Tim had a number attached to it. Yeah. I think they have to have an open discussion about, we can't let this program take a step back. We've got a little momentum here, but you know that we got to get to the NCAA. What do we do in terms of roster construction? What do we do in terms of schedule construction? And then what do we do about flat-out coaching, where it seems, Tim, at the end of the year, that we go into an 0-5 drought to finish the year, or a 2-3, or a 3-2. How do we overcome that? And also, how do we get a portable offense that can go on the road and win? I know that defensively we're going to be good, but how do we get an offense that can flow when we go on the road, because we're going to have to win some key road games to help our resume? And I think the one thing that Bill Moose will look at is, it's not a one-year deal. You remember, you go back to what he likes so much about the volleyball program, is that they're able to achieve success and sustain, and it's kind of almost, they just roll it over and over and over, the juggernaut that they become. That's what he'd like to see men's basketball. I also think another little sub part of this is, we don't know what Bill Moose wants out of men's basketball. I think he wants his two basketball programs to be in the conversation at the end of February or March to go to the NCAA tournament. But this, what else does he want? And that's probably a question that we need to have answered before we move forward. But, you know, Tim's, if he can keep the roster intact, and you know, you have a couple of key decisions of guys that are maybe a little bit older, like a Copeland who's 23, or, you know, James Palmer would like to know what the NBA thinks of him. Get that feelings from the NBA and then come back. But if you keep your roster core together, you know, you feel pretty good, because you're adding a superstar in Xavier Johnson and probably a legit freshman that can walk in the door and play right away, where you've had some other freshmen that were really good, but it took them until the next year to take off. So, you know, it was a really good year for Nebraska. I think you can't overlook that. But now you got to keep it moving. You can't go what you did when you went to the NCAA tournament back in 13-14 and finished fourth in the league like you did this year, tied for fourth, and go back to finishing 10th, 11th, 12th. You got to be able to stay in the middle of that pack and get to the NCAA tournament next year.
Absolutely. Sharpie, have a great St. Patrick's Day, brother. Thanks for the time today.
Hey, thanks for, as always, guys.
Take care, man.
Thanks, Gary.
There he is, Gary Sharp with the Sail Varsity Radio. A reminder to you, if you're texting and driving, there are stupider things to be doing, but that list is short, and the behavior is dangerous every time, all the time, no matter how safely you think you can do it. And when you send or receive a text that takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds, that's like driving blindfolded at 55 miles per hour, the length of a football field. It increases your risk of a crash by 23 times, and it's illegal, which means you can get fined between $100 and $300. No text message is more important than your life, the life of your passengers and others on the roadway. Don't text, don't drive. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. A quick time out. We'll wrap up a Saturday. Thanks to Gary Sharp. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
Big thanks today, Brandon Vogel and Gary Sharp, Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranick, Colton Stone, Andrew Anderson for being in. It is St. Patrick's Day, and if you're thinking about where to go for corned beef and cabbage to celebrate, how about Wilderness Ridge? Their culinary team has crafted a fine dish today of corned beef and cabbage. And rosemary ganache, steamed baby carrots, toasted rye crumble. Pair this with their signature ginger snap cocktail featuring Jameson whiskey and some ginger beer.
Hey, man. Yeah. I got some Iver suggestions.
Sure. Just let me finish the read.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
WildernessRidge.com. Wilderness Ridge is there for you. Corned beef and cabbage today, 402-434-5118. And if you need a little pick-me-up tomorrow after celebrating tonight, don't forget the Sunday brunch from 10 to 2. They'll have that next day corned beef hash, which is awesome. A little Bloody Mary. And how about some beer can chicken enchiladas, which sounds phenomenal. Beer can chicken's awesome. Making it an enchilada is brilliant. WildernessRidge.com, 402-434-5118. Go ahead, Cowboy. Sorry about that.
No, you're fine. I blew it.
You're fine.
I jumped in too quickly.
You're good. You're headed to Atlanta. I'm proud of you.
And thanks. Yeah, I'm excited about it. But if you want to try a new Irish whiskey,
okay,
go with Green Spot or Yellow Spot.
Sing? Spots or the names of the whiskeys?
That's the name of the whiskeys. Green Spot or Yellow Spot. Single pot distilled.
Okay. That sounds...
Am I cutting out? Am I, my mic weird right now?
It sounds like you're in the electric chair right now and...
Let me try something.
Colton right flipped the switch on you. Are you lighting matches now? What are you doing? Do we lose him?
I'm back.
Okay.
Hello.
Shot clock's at 15. Say your goodbyes. You're off on vacation next week, and in 2 weeks you'll be back, correct?
And besides Guinness, by the way, yeah. And besides Guinness, try Murphy's Irish Stout.
Okay. There are your drinking suggestions for tonight. Kranick, we love you. Be good, bud.
Godspeed, sir.
Take care. All right. Back at you on Monday.